This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a pretty magnificent Thursday, if I say so myself. We'll touch on Greenland fraud. We'll make fun of Dome speaking Spanish. After all, I know a little bit about that.
Buenas tardes.
Some emails and more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, we just mentioned force projection. Let's chat about Greenland again. Greenland. Why has Trump been talking about Greenland for a long time? What's the deal? Is he just trolling? What is actually going on? Well, I want you to do me a favor unless you're driving. You want to do this with me? If you're driving, please don't. You truckers are just going to have to wait till you get home, all right? I want you to look up Greenland on your little map on your phone. Don't lie. I know your phone's in your hand. It's always in your hand. Quit playing. Look up Greenland. All right, you see it? Got Greenland? Okay. Now, forget about Greenland itself. I want you to look north of Greenland. North of Greenland. See that? See that Arctic Ocean? You see that land that's north of the Arctic Ocean on that little map that's on your phone? You know that's Russia, right? See, we forget that we live in a round globe sometimes. We do. The Arctic Ocean, a horrible frozen hellscape that you will never see and I will never see and you don't care about and I don't care about. It's still a navigable, Chris, see that word? Don't roll your eyes, Chris. You couldn't say that word. A navigable body of water that is very, very important because it's the North Pole. It's how ships can go to and fro. And Greenland, as you can see, is uniquely positioned to monitor the situation, if we have to use a military term. Donald Trump didn't wake up one day and just decide, hey, it'd be fun to push around that frozen dump Greenland. Donald Trump is aware of this. Russia and China, they want Greenland. They want every spot of land surrounding that Arctic Ocean you're looking at because that is a very, very important part globally for, well, just what we talked about, force projection. Part of the reason we can project force across the globe is we do have a base here, a base there, a place you can drop here. Russia and China do not have as many as we do. Donald Trump views Greenland as a race. So Donald Trump is doing what Donald Trump has done for the entirety of his time in public life, not just his time in politics. Donald Trump is negotiating a deal. And for some reason, when Donald Trump negotiates deals, people are still unaware of how he does what he does and why he does what he does, which is crazy to me because he wrote a freaking book about it. In fact, I think he wrote multiple books about it. I was talking about The Art of the Deal. Donald Trump has teased multiple times military intervention to take Greenland. He keeps teasing it and teasing it and teasing it. And then the next day, after saying, well, I mean, I'm not saying we won't send in the troops. We do have a lot of bombs. The Marines like the cold. The next day he says, well, it'd be nice to just buy it. Could just buy it. Maybe Denmark should just sell it. Maybe everybody in Greenland could use a little bit. Maybe we could just sell it. Or the Marines, we could just take it. Or we could just sell it. This is textbook negotiating tactics. It's not even like it's some kind of advanced thing you have to go to the Wharton School of Business to figure out. It's standard carrot and stick tactics that people use when they negotiate. Hey, I'd love to buy your company for $10 million. Or I could just do a hostile takeover and you get nothing. Or I could buy it for $10 million or bankrupt you and your family. Or $10 million or you know, bankruptcy is your call. Headline, Trump push to buy Greenland could cost the U.S. up to $700 billion. I don't know what it's going to cost in the end. But I do know we're going to buy it. I bet you money right now. I place a wager down right now. By the time Donald Trump's 3 years are over, the United States of America will own Greenland. And we will have owned it without a shot fired. But that brings me to the point I was just making about force projection. This is from Open Source Intel. Europe, as quit making me laugh, Chris. Europe has decided they're going to stand up for Greenland. We're not going to allow this. Okay, all right. Do you know what Europe's troop deployments to Greenland are? France is sending 15 people. Germany is sending 13. Sweden is sending 3. Norway's sending 2. Finland is sending 2. The UK is sending 1. And Netherlands, they're sending 1. Europe, in its entirety, they're sending fewer troops than you can find in a Marine Corps infantry platoon. This is another headline. Veterans aged 65 face a call-up and they're told to prepare for war. That's in the UK. At 65, you're lucky if you still have your prostate, but the UK is so drained of manpower, they're now telling 65-year-olds to prepare for war. So setting aside the hilarity of Europe's force projection for Greenland, this is what I mean about being able to send troops, project force, enforce your will across the globe. When you get to a place as a country where you can't do that anymore, then your diplomatic opportunities simply shrink. There's all kinds of great quotes about this. I'm not going to bother digging any of them up, but with diplomacy, there always has to be a gun behind it at some level, or your diplomacy simply isn't worth everything. Europe's leaders can bang the drum beats and say, we're not going to allow America to do this. But then when you send 3 people from Sweden, what it does is it lets the world know, it lets us know. What are you going to do about it? And if I may, I actually think that's kind of sad about the UK. Not that I want the UK to be able to oppose us, but I am personally a fan of the British Empire from back in the day. I'm glad we rebelled and threw them out of here and whatnot. Don't get me wrong, but I have so much admiration that in the age of sail, the British Empire was able to conquer large parts of the world. You know, the sun never sets on the British Empire, all that stuff. They could project force all across the globe because of the fantastic British Navy, the way they'd really figured out how to colonize places. They could project force at one point in time anywhere. And apparently those days are just completely gone. Completely gone. I don't understand it. It's hilarious to me, but that's where we are. That's where we are. Dear Crayon Eater, I keep hearing American prisons are overcrowded, requiring judges to release criminals. He goes on to point out that that's a bunch of crap. And of course, that's not true at all. That's not why they're turning loose the criminals. It's not because prisons are overcrowded. We probably do jail too many people, but we don't jail the right people for long enough. You get some guy with a low-level drug possession offense and you throw him in prison for 20 years. What's that about? But then you'll take some guy in a blue area. He's been assaulting people for the entire 25 years on the planet. That's just an animal. You have to put him in a cage now. The animal has to be put into a cage. That's where animals belong, and never let him out again because he's proven he can't live in society. All right, we'll do some more emails here in a few. Medicaid paid out $400 million to dead recipients in just a year. Man, the quantity of fraud in this country. Gosh. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Remember, tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's once again check in with the housing czar, or whatever she's calling herself, of New York City. This is her from 2021.
There's more of them than there are of the Blackstones. And so it's just like this challenging dynamic that white middle-class homeowners are a huge problem for our renter justice movement.
White middle-class homeowners are a huge problem for the renter justice movement. In the end, our communists are no different than the communists have always been. It's always a war against the middle class. The poor can be bought off by the government. The rich can be co-opted by the government because they can lose everything without government assistance and government money. But the middle class people who have enough money to be independent, but not so much money to be co-opted, they are always the enemy of the communist. It's why Stalin tried to liquidate the kulaks in Ukraine, all the way up to this lady in New York deciding that white middle class homeowners are the enemy of everything. It's always a war against the middle class. The middle class represents the true enemy of the communist. Hey, Oracle, why is there a sex offender database and not a database where I can find career criminals in my area? You already know the answer to it. I understand your question, but you can't find the career criminals in your area because career criminals are useful tools to the communist revolution. Period. End of story. Jesse, try as hard as I can. My wife and I have never been able to figure out what the acronym DOME stands for. Please enlighten us. He's, of course, talking about Vice President Kamala Harris, and I call her Vice President DOME. And I've got the acronym. What does it actually stand for? Kamala Harris buys $8.2 million seaside mansion after warning sea levels are rising due to the climate crisis. Remember that she's not a hypocrite. She never believed in it at all. Elite communists don't generally believe in communism at all. Sometimes you'll get one who actually does, but they never believe what they're selling. They know that street communists, your liberal Aunt Peggy, are stupid, drug addicted, miserable, broken people, easily manipulated people with lies. And so they just lie to them to keep them in a perpetual state of anxiety and anger and panic. They'll lie to them over and over and over and over and over again. And once your liberal Aunt Peggy is stuck in that cycle of anger and panic, I was actually talking to Jennifer Gilardi about this yesterday. I have her on my TV show from time to time. She's super sharp, and she was a former lib, one of these libs. She'll talk endlessly about how miserable she always was, always mad, always miserable, always mad, always miserable. And she'll tell you everything around her reinforced that. And actually, I want to speak to the young ladies right now. Maybe you're a young lady listening to the show, and maybe you're finding the swan song of feminism to be kind of appealing. You're a woman. You don't want to be oppressed. You don't want men to push you around. I understand that. Let me ask you something. Your friends who are encouraging you in this route, when you talk to them about it, when you're done with that conversation, are you smiling? Are you happy? Or are you mad? Miserable. You're a college professor. When she sits up there with her crew cut She tells you about how oppressed women are, and you've had enough of it. You're done with this male-driven society. When you walk out of there, how do you feel? You happy? You know, when I hang out with my friends and I go home at night, I'm laughing about all the stupid stuff they do and say. I feel good about things. There's a reason you don't. They're always, always miserable, and they're always trying to keep you miserable. You have to be miserable. If you end up happy and content, well, what kind of a soldier for the revolution are you going to be then? You're totally useless to them. Hey, Bronco, Jesse, or brother Jesse, I thought we were good buddies, but now I'm not so sure. I've been a Pure Talk customer for over a year. I was just informed by Mike Rowe that active duty military and veterans get 20% off their plans. I called and sent in my ID and received my discount. Here's my problem. I hardly know Mike Rowe. I consider you to be one of my best buddies. Why didn't you tell me about this? Reconsidering our relationship, and he says his name is Dave. I've told you about the veteran discount before. Okay, pick up your phone with Pure and dial #250 and say save now. You don't need Verizon. You don't need AT&T. You don't need T-Mobile. If you're not a veteran, you're still going to save a fortune. A fortune. My bill got cut in half. Talking $20 a month for unlimited talk and text. If you are a veteran, active duty, former, you save even more. Pure Talk CEO did two tours with MACV SOG. This dude is as veteran-driven, veteran-motivated as is humanly possible. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say save now. If you are an Army veteran, call a Marine, and he'll teach you how to dial #250 and say save now. What, Chris? I'm trying to help our fellow veterans, all right? Sorry for caring about the guys who are in the Army who maybe struggle with simple tasks like that. Can you believe this guy is in Congress? I can't.
We will go to Bangkok Palace. Now there is a new Maharaja. And again, the palace has the power of the dark light. It is that place. Kill my people.
It's crazy. It's crazy to me. Hey, Jesse. I'm a little confused about our elected sheriffs. I'm under the impression they can protect us from federal overreach. Well, they can, but you need the right one. They can, but you need the right one. You're not going to get one of these elected sheriffs in a place like Philadelphia and get some constitutional warrior who's going to fight for your Second Amendment rights. That's just going to be a communist apparatchik who's always looking for her next six-figure gig somewhere, and she's always going to be a loyal servant to the system. I've explained to you several times, if you are in a blue area, you're fresh out of friends. You are fresh out of levels of government that are going to be there for you. Plan accordingly. All right, we'll do some more of these. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Trump said this about the Venezuelan leaker. Remember, the information on that super, super, super top secret Venezuelan raid, it was leaked to the press. It was. We thought it was a rumor at the time, but it was leaked to the press. That's not good for this guy.
The leaker has been found and is in jail right now. And that's the leaker on Venezuela, and a very bad leaker. So there could be some others, and we'll let you know about that. We're hot on their trail, but the leaker has been found, and the leaker's in jail, and will probably be in jail for a long time. Let's see what happens.
Speaking of sending a message, that's incredibly valuable. We have so many disloyal, traitorous pieces of trash inside of our government and around our government that we've just developed this horribly corrupt system for the longest time where there's a pipeline that goes right from important government people into communist-run media organizations. And it's more than just the Washington Post publishing a story you don't like. Remember that those things cost lives. We've talked about this before. Submarine service in World War II was insanely dangerous. Half of our guys died. Half of them. Half of them. It was something like 90% of the Germans died. It's just a death trap down there. You don't have any armor. You're super slow when you're underwater. And we caught a break. Depth charges, those are those explosive things that ships, usually destroyers, they'll go above the sub and they'll drop them into the water and they'll explode at a certain depth. And in a submarine, you're actually fine if the depth charge explodes above you because explosions travel the path of least resistance, which is always up when you're under the water because there's more pressure down, right? If it's under you, you're all dead. If it's beside you, if it's close enough, you might die. If it's above you, you're fine. It'll scare you, but they can explode above you all day long. Well, we had a congressman tell a newspaper back then that the Japanese were setting their depth charges too shallow. He said that to the newspaper. The newspaper printed it. One of our admirals, I forget who it was, said that quote to the newspaper killed 268 Navy. I think it was 268. 268 Navy sailors died because of that quote. It's not just an article in the New York Times or Washington Post that you don't like. People die. If one of those news outlets had printed that, we were downtown Caracas. Downtown. What if they had known the time, the location? The surprise was 90% of it. What if they had known? What if instead of waking up one morning and Maduro, Chris, you have to roll the R's. Instead of them being in custody on the USS Iwo Jima on the way back to New York to stand trial, what if that morning we woke up and we found out we had 50 dead soldiers and 20 captured in downtown Caracas? Chris, you roll the R in Caracas, too. That way people know you're dead serious.
Buenas tardes.
American dad wakes up speaking fluent Spanish after a surgery. Maybe that's what happened to me, Chris. No, listen. When I was a kid, I was having problems with my throat. And had to go see the doctor. And it turns out I had tonsillitis. And so on Christmas Eve, because my parents were just like that, on Christmas Eve, I had to go to the hospital and I had to go under the knife. Now, it wasn't all bad because I woke up and the nurses, I was young. I bet I was 7 years older and I wasn't allowed to play video games as a kid. The nurses were so lovely to me. They wheeled in a television beside my bed that had a Nintendo, and because my parents were gone celebrating Christmas Eve without me, I was able, what, Chris, why did you think I was like this? I was able to play Nintendo as much as I wanted. I didn't have a Nintendo, and I finally, but anyway, let's not focus on that. Maybe that's why I'm so fluent in Spanish. Maybe something happened when I went under, what, Chris? I'm fluent in Mexican, too. It's two different dialects. It's probably more than you would understand. I can't break down all the linguistic stuff for you right now. That's one. Two, remember, I've also had an emergency appendectomy. This happened when I was working in Washington, D.C. for a year. I had this terrible stomach ache one night, but I knew it was not normal. It was well beyond a stomach ache. Remember, if you're ever worried that I'm having an appendicitis, you'll know. Let me tell you what I knew. It was like my whole, not just like my inside on my stomach, it was like my whole torso hurt up to like the skin. It hurt. It was not normal. This was before bed. So I just decided to go to bed and sleep it off. In hindsight, that's the kind of thing that can get you killed. But I wake up the next morning and Ob's in the bathroom getting ready. And so I did what any red-blooded American would do, and I got on WebMD because everything was still hurting. And I looked up a couple things, and I said, hey, Ob, I think I'm having an appendicitis, and I have to go. Anyway, went to the doctor's office, went to the hospital. They don't give you any pain meds because they got to put you into a test. They got to put you through tests first. I have to go back to the tests, and I come back, and the nurse comes in. This black lady, she was so freaking cool. She comes in and she says, well, I got some good news and bad news. And I said, well, okay, well, what's the bad news? She said, you have an appendicitis and we're going to have to do an emergency appendectomy and cut it out of you. And I said, well, what's the good news? And she said, I have a syringe here full of, it was some sort of pain medication, I don't know. And she said, I'm about to give it to you and you're about to feel so much better. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, maybe I should just give you half. And I was in quite a bit of pain. And I said, lady, I'm 230 pounds. Just dump the whole bad boy in there. And she said, all right, she was so sweet. She said, I'll do that for you. I think she called me Sweet Pea or something like that. And she just plunged that thing in there. I know how Keith Richards has felt for the entire 150 years that he's been alive. I felt fantastic. Granted, the recovery was absolutely terrible. It's like a week where everything hurts. Anyway, maybe that also contributed to me being able to speak Mexican. That's why I say Maduro, Chris. Maduro and Caracas. Jesse, I'm starting to question Trump's understanding of economic theory. Between 50-year mortgages and now talking about caps on interest rates, he's operating less like a man and more like a 17-year-old in economics class. What are we doing? Trump is a populist. Trump is not he's never pretended to be a traditional conservative type, a super free market guy. If I'm giving him credit, he has never pretended to be that. Trump is one of these guys, he believes that as a businessman, he wants to control this part of this and control this part of that. That's how he approaches government things, and that's how he approaches everything economically. And sometimes that can work out great, and sometimes it can be a complete disaster. It's not that I'm defending it, but that is what it is. That's how Trump thinks about things. Anyway, one more segment. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. But we shall return one more time. I mean, one more time this week. One more time. Tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions in now. It's going to be a good time. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I'm going to be curious what's actually inside the Trump healthcare plan. Trump talked
and
about
I'm
it.
I'm thrilled to announce my plan to lower healthcare prices for all Americans and truly make healthcare affordable again. We're doing things that nobody's ever been able to do. We're calling it the Great Healthcare Plan. Instead of putting the needs of big corporations and special interests first, our plan finally puts you first and puts more money in your pocket. The government is going to pay the money directly to you. It goes to you, and then you take the money and buy your own health care. Nobody's ever heard of that before, and that's the way it is. The big insurance companies lose, and the people of our country win.
I am curious how that's going to work. I'm not going to start judging something before I actually see the fine print on it. We're going to give the money to you. Sounds like that could be an entitlement program. Remember how much of the budget Medicare and Medicaid take up? Healthcare plans run by the government, funded by the government, get out of control quickly. But I also don't think Donald Trump would start another Medicare. I hope. Let's wait and see. Let's take a wait and see approach on such things. Caroline Levitt said this today about Tim Walz.
But I would ask that the governor stops inciting the harassment and illegal obstruction of law enforcement in his state. All ICE and federal law enforcement are trying to do are remove people like this off of the streets of Governor Walz's city in Minneapolis and of his state in Minnesota. If you look at some of the individuals in this photo, these are all illegal alien criminals who came into our country under the previous administration. This is some of the most disturbing crimes you will ever read about. And there's only a few reporters in this room who will actually talk about these individuals. This is all ICE is trying to do. They are trying to remove people like this from Governor Walz's state. And so yes, he should pick up the phone and he should say that he will cooperate with this president and with the federal government in making Minnesota safer, because that's all President Trump and his administration want to do.
But of course, Tim Walz probably doesn't have an interest in doing that. And I say probably, the reason I say probably is this. I think Tim Walz might be in significant legal trouble. I think there's a chance. All this Somali fraud stuff continues to get worse and worse. The rumor mill, as we've talked about, it keeps swirling that Tim Walz is going to be implicated. And it's hard to believe that he wouldn't be implicated. When you sit and unpack millions and millions of dollars flowing through the airports in Minnesota to Somalia, millions in suitcases, fake daycares, the breadth, how about that, Chris? That's a great word. The breadth of fraud is so widespread. There has to be some connection to Walz's government. Doesn't mean it's going to be Walz himself, but someone in there is going to burn. If Walz is truly implicated in this, there's a chance it would give him some incentive to work with Donald Trump, seeing as how Donald Trump is overseeing the Justice Department. Maybe he would look at that as, hey, give me a lighter sentence type thing. I'm not saying that's the case, but if Tim Walz thinks a criminal probe is coming down the highway for him, maybe we could get something out of him. That's Tim Walz, though. We're not going to get anything out of people like this.
It took me 17 years to get my citizenship. I went through a lot. And I can advocate for myself, as you all will attest.
We're not going to get anything out of people like this.
Imagine if that city or that town was suddenly invaded by thousands of federal agents that do not share the values that you hold dear.
I mean, won't get anything out of people like
basically,
this.
ICE is acting as the private police for the president. They're going and knocking on Americans' doors. They're harassing people in their cars. They have taken over an entire state. Let's stand up for American freedom, for states' ability to have federalism in this country. And I believe that the president is really crossing the line.
And we absolutely, positively will not get anything out of people like this.
You will go to Bangkok Palace. Now there is a new Maharaja, and again the palace has the power of the dark light. It is that place, kill my people.
That guy's not on our side. We have to accept that. Speaking of which, dear big fan of France, I never said I was a big fan of France. I didn't say that, Chris. I didn't, what? Praising their food doesn't count as being a big fan of France. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you this, pal. Speaking of their food, did I bring this up before? The food on Air France? Because we had one of the legs was Air France. They have these, I don't remember what they called them because it was in French. And I don't know if you know that's a foreign language. But they were like these cheese crisps. When I say cheese crisps, I'm trying to think. I want you to think about, imagine a crepe. A crepe that was filled with some sort of, I don't want to say cream cheese, but like a creamy, delicious cheese. Hold on, Corey, let me see these things. Yes, yes, that's them. Crepes francais. Is that what you say? C-R-E-P-E-S. F-O-U-R-R-E-E-S. That's exactly what I'm talking. That's exactly them. Okay. I'm not going to spell all that thing again. Crepes Flores, Monsieur. They're unreal. Unreal. Why are you giving me that symbol? Is the segment almost over? I meant to do more. I wanted to do more, but then Corey brought up the crepes. And now, what? They're delicious. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you have questions about crepes for Flores or anything else, you can get your questions emailed in. We'll have fun, I promise, all right? And don't forget,
you will go to Banquet Palace.
That's all.